promise outstanding content, but when it's time to deliver, they fall flat on their ridiculous faces. Enter LA Talk Radio, a cool, irreverent, and entertaining talk station that delivers totally original content without any commercials. Log on to latalkradio.com and get involved with the best talk radio station on the internet. LA Talk Radio, we say what we want.
This station presents Real American Heroes.
Real American Heroes.
Today we salute you, Mr. Non-Football Fan Super Bowl Partygoer. It's the game NFL aficionados anticipate all season long. And you show up at the party with six beers in your hand and a million dumb questions in your head.
Like, why is it called a punt?
Yes, Mr. Non-Football Fan Super Bowl Partygoer, you walk in front of the TV to replenish your nachos at exactly the same time as the game-winning field goal.
You're not supposed to block that.
Why didn't you just stay at home?
And watch Project Runway, yeah.
So this Super Bowl Sunday, when a guy asks what inning it is, and if you could change the channel to ice dancing, shake your head in disgust and chuck a hot wing at Mr. Non-Football Fan Super Bowl Partygoer, a real American hero.
Mr. Non-Football Fan Super Bowl Partygoer.
Someone needs to go on a beer run, and we voted for you.
Get ready for the best morning show on any kind of radio. Broadcasting live from the palatial studios of LA Talk Radio, get ready for Sam and Kara in the morning. Give Sam and Kara a call at 323-203-0815. And now, here are your hosts, Sam and Kara.
Good morning and welcome back. It's Wednesday, February 2nd. And we're back after 4 days of doing absolutely nothing. But we're back, and we know you love us. Good morning, Kara.
Good morning, Sam.
Welcome back, our little sick girl here.
Yes.
Waltzing in here like a tourist with a flowery dress and a big hat.
I had a big hat.
A big summer hat.
I had a big hat on because I have an olive oil thing going on in my hair where I'm conditioning my scalp.
Uh-huh.
But basically, it looks like you can fry some eggs off this head. So I was like,
Does it smell like olive?
Yeah, I mean, it doesn't smell bad. It's clean. It's just, I'm doing like a conditioning thing. So it looks really nasty.
Yeah.
So I had to put a hat on and, you know, that just didn't work with the headphones, so now you have to see it.
Well, I love olive oil, but on my salad.
Yeah, on your salad.
Yeah.
And we're walking up we were walking through the hall, and Sam's like, yeah, I'm sick too. I was like, you're not stealing my sick thunder.
Yeah.
Trying to one-up me on my
sickness. Okay, we're going to have the spotlight on you today as far as being sick and everything. So you were pretty sick, huh?
Yeah, so here's the thing. I know people want to know about Vegas, so let's just get down to
it. Yeah, let's get down to Vegas.
Let's get down to it. It all happened with a bunch of midgets, a donkey, and a pole. You'd be proud, Sam.
Mm-hmm.
No, I'm just playing everyone. You know, it's just kind of Murphy's Law.
Mm-hmm.
If you talk about going to do something and you build it up and you really think about it a lot, you know it's never going to really be as fun. I find that spontaneity and just going, doing stuff on the spur of the moment is really it leaves more adventure, and usually you have more fun because you don't have any expectations.
Right.
And so for me, overall it was a great trip, but for me, it was definitely Murphy's Law. So we come home, we're packing up stuff. I'm like, you know what? There's outlet malls there that we're going to go shop at. And I was like, I'm not going to bring that many dresses. We're going to go shop. So I didn't bring like half my stuff I was going to bring.
Yeah.
And as we're leaving, like pulling out of my driveway, I start to feel like, oh, something's not right. And bam, start my period.
Oh, I see. I thought you realized you forgot to go to the bathroom.
No, that's a different feeling. Stay up with my
I really don't know how you last for 5 hours in the car.
Like stay up with my groans. It's a different groan. That one involves sweat. This one we were backing up out of the car and out of the driveway, and I was like, oh man, I think I'm starting my period. Bam, I started my period.
Wow.
And so I had to, you know, do the whole tampon thing, and way more information than you guys want to know, but the first 2 days of your period are wretched.
Yeah.
They're the worst. They're like a train's left the station and it's a steam train and it's like, I'm a period, I'm going to get you. It's just,
really?
It's intense. It's cramping. It's bloated. It's miserable. Like the first 2 days are miserable. Like if we had gone day like even three or four of my period, mm-hmm. just to let you guys know in future events, planet at least day four, three or four, it's much more manageable. It's much more not a big deal. But those first 2 days are like you want to be in bed with a big, like, you know, heating pad, and you don't.
Really?
Wanna,
it's
yeah.
that bad, huh?
Yeah, you don't want to do it. You feel
Is it like that for every woman?
Not every woman. A lot of women, the first 2 days are, a lot of women, it is rough like that. So it's pretty mm-hmm. common, but it's not everyone. Everybody's body's different.
Right.
You know, after that, it's generally smooth sailing. But so those first 2 days, so we were only there Friday, Saturday, came back on Sunday.
Right.
I'm on my period.
Uh-huh.
And
you came back when? Sunday night?
Sunday night, yeah.
Uh-huh.
And then during that time, my roommate had been sick. She caught like a severe flu, which has been going around apparently. Some people at my work got it too, like a cold type flu. And I thought I was out of the woods. I didn't catch it.
Yeah.
And then it hits me when we're in Las Vegas.
Really?
Yeah, I just start
Not
getting
terrible,
tired,
huh?
fatigued, coughing, I'm congested. I'm like, what is this about? And then I'm like bleeding everywhere, and I'm like, you know, anyway. So, but that's about me. Let me get on with the girls. They had a great time.
Uh-huh.
They got dolled up. They went out. I went out too, but I was like, I got to go back to the room. I was tired.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I was like a grandma. Oh. It was very anticlimactic. I didn't really get my crazy out. But for me, too, the other element is that I live in L.A. I'll go tweet and dance in a birdcage on a Tuesday night. So you know what I'm saying? It's not like...
You do it anyway.
Yeah, it's not like I live somewhere in the Midwest where I never get out and this is a big deal. It's kind of... I'm not saying I'm great and fabulous. It's just there's a lot more outlets here, you know?
Right.
Whereas if I... Like when I lived in Detroit, I was there for 4 months one time. I mean, I was screaming for a party, you know?
Yeah.
I was like, give me a party. Now it's like... They're all the time. You don't really have to... You know, so
So you didn't feel any pressure to go out and have fun? And
well,
that,
I did. There were so many things I wanted to do that I didn't get to do because there was just limited time. I wanted to check out other casinos, and I wanted to gamble. I didn't really gamble.
Right.
You know.
How were you impressed with the city, though, when you drove up and stuff?
Not impressed at all.
No, huh?
No, not impressed
really?
At all.
And you haven't been there yet.
The city? No, I've driven through it a few times, and I've stopped in Las Vegas.
Okay.
But I've never done Las Vegas,
like.
Is what I'm saying.
Right.
I've never done the hotel, and I've just driven through a few times.
So you were underwhelmed as far as that goes?
I mean, I think at night, well, let me tell you, we stayed at a very nice hotel. It's called the Aria.
Uh-huh. Wasn't it nice?
Very nice.
And the Vidara across the street?
Which one's
that? That's the hotel right across from the circle.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, okay, go ahead. But yours had a casino.
Yeah,
right?
So we stayed at the Aria, and you walk in and immediately you smell something. It's like they pump oxygen in, but they flavor it.
Right.
So it's like a vanilla cinnamon kind of smell.
Yeah.
And
I remember my wife actually went in to find out what smell it was so we can buy some.
Oh, I know. It's an interesting scent.
Yeah.
And it was very spacious and very tall ceilings, very open.
Right.
And they have, it was hard for me to kind of wrap my brain around what their theme was, but their theme is like outdoor elements being brought inside. So a lot of trees, mm-hmm. some Asian kind of themes, and just very like water elements, earth elements, and, very beautiful. And we went and saw our hotel room
mm-hmm.
was fat, and we had a big, like you walk in, you push a button, and then the curtains open to the window, and it was nighttime,
uh-huh.
and all we saw was Las Vegas colors and lights.
Right.
And we were like,
woo! Beautiful, yeah.
Oh, my gosh. We had the killer view, and we were just, we brought four bottles of champagne, and we were popping champagne, and we're drinking champagne, and we're getting ready. I bought my friend Christy, you know, I told her she's the one it's her birthday, turning 40, looks like she's 22. Everybody thought she was turning 22.
Really?
It's hysterical. Mm. So the whole weekend she told everybody she was turning
25.
Yeah. It was very funny.
Yeah.
And I bought her a really pretty dress, and she loved it, which was good because she's very, very fickle. And this thing was hot. She looked amazing in it. So we put the dress on her, and I got her this big birthday balloon that we clipped to her.
Mm-hmm.
So everywhere we went, there's this big inflated birthday balloon. So we got free drinks and stuff. It was great. So we used that all weekend. Yeah, we used that all weekend. We went to a couple of really nice restaurants. The first one we went to was called Haleo, I think, and it's in the Cosmopolitan, which is a new... Okay, if you guys are going to go to Las Vegas, check out the Cosmopolitan. It's brand new. It just opened up in December. most people don't know it's even open. Yeah. It is so swanky, and it's fun. And it's the difference between the Aria is much more spacious, I feel like, and the ceilings are open, which I like, and I like the scented air, and
right.
It's very clean and
classy.
I mean,
it didn't stink like cigarette smoke, right?
No, not at all.
Yeah.
Not at all.
You go to every other casino, and it does.
Let me tell you.
Yeah.
Let me tell you, the Cosmopolitan, though, it's really young. It's like they have this whole bar area called the Crystals. It's three stories, and it's just chandeliers of crystals that act like a tent and a canopy. Mm-hmm. So you go in the bar, and you're surrounded by these like drapings of crystals and chandeliers, and it's the whole bar, and you're encompassed in it. Mm-hmm. So gorgeous. And it's really young and very, very, very just hip and swanky and like plush this and crystal that. It's really, really cool. Mm-hmm. Cosmopolitan, so check it out. But I didn't realize how amazing of a hotel we stayed at until I went to some other ones. Because mm-hmm. I had to go, I met a comedy club owner at Harrah's.
Yeah.
And have you been to Harrah's?
No, I mean, who goes to Harrah's? Come on.
Shit, apparently people do, but I walked through this thing, yeah. And I was like, duh, damn, this is budget.
Yeah.
And I'm not like I make a lot of money, obviously, but, you know, we packed four girls in a hotel room.
Yeah,
so.
But compared to other hotels, it's a dive.
I didn't realize it, so I walked through, and I was like, they had a food court with, like, a Kentucky Fried Chicken and everything, and you're like, wow, this is just, it's just, like, kind of staying at, like, a strip mall.
Right.
Oh, it wasn't cool.
No.
No, not at all. There's a bunch of those that are just, there's a lot.
Yeah, the old hotels.
There's
yeah.
a lot of, there's some, it's Las Vegas, and I didn't, you know, I there's so much I didn't see, but what I did see is there's a lot of really nice stuff, and there's a lot of really just tacky Vegas stuff.
Yeah, yeah. It's older stuff. Yeah, it is tacky, but eventually they're all going to go away. You know,
really?
They'll build new ones. But
yeah.
Sometimes if you want to go for the sake of, like, the classic Vegas and stuff, you know, then it's cool, you know, but... But like you said, I mean, it's nothing to write home about, you know? It's
yeah.
pretty...
Well, the hotel we stayed in was gorgeous, and you know, that was a lot of fun.
Yeah.
And the hotel...
A lot of chrome and glass and stuff, right?
Yeah, very yeah. sleek, very nice. Mm-hmm. And, I mean, the pool was really pretty. The pool was open, and it was heated to, like, 80 degrees or something. And then they had jacuzzis, and then they had a spa area, which was really nice. Claire got a massage, and they have, like, these little pools and... These resting rooms and
right.
these really, really nice things. And then we went one morning. Christy and I are the only ones that wake up before like 11, I mean, normally. So Christy and I went to do the buffet.
Mm-hmm.
And I had heard that their buffet wasn't that great, but we did the breakfast buffet. But, you know, you walk in and you see all these different stations of food and, you know, you're getting your Bloody Mary and all this stuff. And it just looks gorgeous, but it really doesn't taste that great.
Yeah, that's
isn't
true.
That interesting about buffets? They're yeah. always so bland, and they're not...
Yeah, because maybe they're trying to, you know, to serve as many people as possible. So they figured, you know, if they make it too spicy or too this...
Well, it was a breakfast buffet. Like it was $30.
Yeah.
Included either a mimosa or unlimited mimosas or Bloody Mary. So I did Bloody Mary. And
$30 for both of you, right?
No, individually.
Really?
Yeah.
Each one? Shit, you should have gone to Denny's for $8.
Dude, you don't go to Vegas to go to Denny's. You want to try this. That's why you bring money and
yeah,
you do
but
it.
you admitted the food wasn't that great.
I didn't know it till afterwards.
Yeah.
I was like, this sucks, man. Next time, let's just Starbucks or something. Yeah, it wasn't that. It wasn't good. You live, you learn, though. Well, the first night we went to a restaurant that had tapas, and we had really nice cuts of meat.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a really fun place. It was in the Cosmopolitan. And they brought out this appetizer that they served in a shoe.
Really?
Yeah. They were chicken fritters. So they were these like kind of crispy fried chicken bits that were like creamy on the inside. It was really fun with dipping sauce. And
what was the shoe made of?
No, it was a real shoe.
A real
shoe? It was like a Converse type shoe. But they lined it with paper.
Right.
It was really fun. And we had a good time. And we had these sangrias that were made with brandy and wine. And we had a pitcher of those. It was just a lot of fun, you know, just dolling it up. I just was losing steam quickly.
Yeah. So tell me something. Were you able to get drinks everywhere you went?
Pretty much. Yeah. I mean, the funny thing is I barely drank that much, which is funny because, you know, you think at Las Vegas, you're just going to be bottoms up the whole time. But no, we brought champagne. So we had champagne a lot. They gave us complimentary drinks. The hotel did the first night. They gave us like tickets for complimentary drinks.
Right.
And then we bought some drinks with dinner, and then we were just walking by with a balloon, and a couple people would ask us to come into their place, and they gave us drinks. Mm. Here's the creepy thing. The first night I was ready to rock, we went to this one club, because everybody's like, wants girls to come to their club. Mm-hmm. So there's so many promoters.
Right.
So we're just walking to dinner, like, hey girls, what are you doing? We're like, we're going to dinner.
Was there like a huge line of women outside the
in
front of the hotel?
Mm-mm.
Oh, I thought that's what you were going to tell me.
No.
They do have ladies' nights and shit, you know?
No, but they're trying to get women in their place. So this guy comes up to us. He goes, hey, I got bottle service. I'll hook you guys up if you guys want to come back. And we're like, sure, we'll go anywhere. If there's, you know, good music and free drinks. We're like, sure. So we call this guy.
Mm-hmm.
We go back. He's, you know, in a VIP area. And he pours us a drink. And I'm dancing. I'm feeling great at this point. I'm, like, having a great time getting my dance on. And, you know, he's got these dudes around that are kind of trying to dance. But I always diffuse it. I always act dumb and crazy and act like I don't know what I'm doing. And they leave me alone.
Uh-huh.
And Sarah's really guarded with men, and she's very, very, like, she does not put up with even any bullshit. I'll put up with some bullshit for fun, you know? I mean, I'm not going to marry the guy or date the guy or anything, but I don't care. We're in Vegas. Everybody's a creep. Just have fun.
What do you mean by bullshit?
Like, if a guy's trying to dance up on her, and or if a guy's trying to, if a guy's being creepy, she's just, like, really... No, gotta go. We're done. And I'm like, it's Las Vegas. Everybody's creepy. Just push them away and have fun. You know what I mean?
Uh-huh.
We're not going to find a place that you're going to have a good time and there's not going to be some dude trying to get up on you. This is just, we're in Las Vegas. Get over it. You know?
Yeah.
Grow some thick skin, you know? Enjoy your free drink. I am. Let's have some fun. You know what I'm saying? So I, you know, this one dude's trying to dance on me and I was just like, okay, dancy. And I push him away and he, you know, they just get the point. They leave you alone. Well, Sarah's like, we gotta go. And I was like, this sucks, man. I was having fun. So we're leaving now. We've been there like 10 minutes. We're leaving to go to the next place. And this guy that invited us in, he comes out. He goes, ladies, did I not invite you in? Did I not give you VIP bottle service? Did I not give you free drinks?
Uh-huh.
And you can't dance with my clients?
Really?
And we're like, what?
Whoa.
We're like, oh, we didn't get the fine print. Are you doing an escort service? And I didn't remember signing my name anywhere. And you definitely didn't, you know, update me on the conditions here.
Yeah.
Anyway, he left right away. I didn't even get a chance to rip him a new one because he left. I was like, and he just left.
That's Vegas for you.
Man, but he's trying to solicit women because he's trying to look like a badass for apparently his clients. And it's like, what an idiot. And we're not even prostitutes. You know, I'm going to make a lot more money if we're doing that route.
Yeah.
Like
so he wanted you only to dance with the clients?
He wanted us to be in that section, and he wanted us to entertain his clients and dance and be this, that, and the other. What an idiot. Like, idiot. Anyway, so we left.
Well, maybe it works for him during other times, you know, when there's other people there. Maybe it just didn't work for him with you guys.
No, it didn't. Not at all.
Yeah.
Then the next place we went to was...
He picked the wrong group.
No, so did. Next group we went to, the club we went to was in our hotel, and it was a really cool club. It's multi-level and great music, but it was packed because it was late. So we get in, and oh my gosh, we could have gotten into a fight. And I like I said, I was losing steam, so actually at this point I was ready to rumble, so I probably could have gotten in some trouble. But we were escorted again to like kind of a VIP area, but because we're in the guest list or whatever, and we're dancing, but it's rammed. It is rammed.
Mm.
And so we're pushing up against some people's tables. And then the service staff is running through this area and bumping into everybody. And I don't care. It's you just dance in your little space and have fun.
Right.
But there's these girls, and they're, like, talking shit about us. They're all kind of, like, not hot.
Uh-huh.
And they're kind of...
how do you know they were talking shit about us?
Because they were looking at us and pointing and talking shit.
Oh, really?
I don't know how else to spell it out to you.
No, but I mean, did you hear what they said?
They're kind of like, get out of our area. What the fuck are they doing over here? Kind of that thing.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh.
I'm dancing. I don't care. Sarah's over there. Claire's in Claire land. Christy's having fun with her balloon. And we're just like kind of innocent in a way. We're just dancing. Like, we're not trying to be hot. Of course we're trying to be hot. Everybody's trying to be hot. But we're not. We're just having fun, you know?
Yeah.
And these girls behind us are like, ah! And one of the girls gets up, and she's trying to talk to somebody there to get us to move. And she comes in and pushes me out of the way. And, like, I almost fall type push me. And she's kind of a heifer. They were all a bit heifery, you know what I mean? Like, a bit thick and, you know, whatever, you know. I'm not judging. I'm just saying there was a little bit of a pissed off thing. So she comes up and gives me a big shove, and I almost fall. But I didn't. But again, I'm in a happy zone, so I'm not really ready to... But I was like, did that just happen? And the other girl saw me get, go, what the heck just happened?
Right.
So her friend comes over. She goes, I'm really sorry. she's really upset right now. She's getting married tomorrow. She thought she was going to have the space to herself. I'm really sorry. I don't want there to be any problems.
Right.
I apologize for my friend. And her friend was really nice. I said, listen, we're just here to have a good time. It's not a big deal. We're not trying to be in your space. So it turned out fine.
Right.
But for a second, I was like, she really pushed the wrong girl. But then I was too happy to really care.
Yeah.
Part of me wanted
God,
to.
God, I would have loved to
part
see
Part of
that.
Me was like, no, you shouldn't do that.
Cat
you really
fights.
Shouldn't do that to me. But I've never been in a fight, FYI. I've never been in like a real fight, you know, since like sixth grade. So I would never, as an adult, I wouldn't just start throwing down, even if it is. But it was Las Vegas, so I thought about it for a second. It's like, hey, I need a story for the radio. Well, then that got diffused, and then Sarah got rammed by one of the service staff. They just kept running into her. She's like, I'm over this. I'm out. And so then we leave, and I was like, Sarah just kept pulling the plug on everything because she was getting just irritated. Yeah, and I was like, okay. But that's the first night. So we went back to the hotel at that point. I thought it was still a fun night. We, you know, we got some free drinks. We had some great food. We got to see some cool things. The second night, we went out again to a really great club called Surrender, and it's at the Wynn.
Mm-hmm.
And by the way, the Wynn is really pretty when you walk up, but it's actually kind of cheesy, the casino.
Yeah, yeah.
It's not that great. I think the Aria is prettier.
No, it's kind of plain, yeah.
I think that the Aria is much prettier.
Right.
By this time, I'm full-blown perioded out, and I'm getting sick, and they're like wanting to tear it up at this place, Surrender.
Mm-hmm.
So I stay for a little bit. We got these free swag bags of hair stuff, which was really cool. And they were taking our pictures. And I was like, I'm out. I'm going to bed. I know it's wrong, but I'm going to bed. And Christy's like, no. I'm like,
How terrible to get sick while you're on a trip, you know?
Yeah. You know, what are you going to do? And I didn't realize I was getting sick. I just thought maybe I was being a wuss. I was like, Kara, you know, why are you acting like you're a grandma?
Right.
And they're all giving me shit. I'm like, guys, I'm sorry. I'm delicate. I don't want to tell you. So I went back, went to sleep. Christy looked great. She had great dresses. She looked beautiful. She had a great time. And it was her birthday, and I wanted her. She kept saying, I'm having so much fun. So I'm glad for her. And then Sunday, we checked out, went to breakfast. We looked around at the Encore, which is the, I'm sorry, not the Encore, the Cosmopolitan, which is another one we'd like to go back and stay at.
Uh-huh.
And that's when I was just like feeling super sick, super, super sick.
Wow.
And so then we drive out of Las Vegas.
Mm-hmm.
And
did you stop at the outlets at all?
No, I'm sorry. We did that on the way there.
Okay.
And it was late, and we were like, we had a very late check-in.
Right.
And they're like, we have to hurry up. And I couldn't find anything, and I had no clothes. I was like, guys, I have to find something.
Yeah.
And even the outlets were like, the dress that I loved was half off, was $829.
Whoa.
I was like, this is...
No, I mean, that's the thing. I mean, the outlets give you a break on the price, but it's expensive things anyway.
Yeah, so I was like, this sucks.
Yeah.
I'm
surprised you didn't bring a lot of clothes with you.
I thought we were
going to
have a shopping spree.
Yeah, I know, but just in case, you know, apparently it didn't work out for you.
Well, it's really weird because Claire usually brings a lot of stuff. She didn't bring a lot of stuff either.
Yeah.
In fact, she only brought some, the girls got in a killer wardrobe. And in fact, she didn't even bring that many clothes. I had to lend her one of my dresses that I just bought the second night.
Right.
It was funny. But on the way back, they wanted to sightsee and stop at everything, and I was like full-blown fever mode, and I was like, and at one point they pulled in, because we like to go to fast food chains on the way home and try everything that you don't normally eat.
Yeah.
So we were like hitting up our third burger place.
Uh-huh.
Sarah's on our third burger, and they're sitting there like, we just got to pull in and eat real quick. We'll just get it in the car, but we'll eat in the car. And I'm like, I'm in the back like foaming at the mouth, and I'm like in an epileptic coma. And I'm like looking at them like, you got to be freaking kidding me right now. I got to get home. I got to get home.
Yeah.
And they're sitting there just chomping away. And I'm like secretly judging them all.
Yeah. Well, what can you do? You know, I mean, the thing is that they still have to enjoy the trip a little bit.
I was like, guys, I'm dying.
You can't like spoil it for them.
Too late. Get my ass home. Shit me. No, but we made it home. It was good. And I'm getting a little better now.
Yeah.
But yeah.
So no adventures. I mean, no.
I mean, it was. I mean, here's the thing.
I mean, no like guys or anything.
No, I didn't. We met a few guys.
No blacking out.
I don't black out. I don't black out. I mean, I can really only drink. I can only really drink three drinks anyway. Four drinks is dangerous for me.
Right.
So I mean, if you really can only drink four drinks, really, it means you can't drink all day, which is what a lot of people do.
Mm.
And then you can't do like a binge drink thing because you'll throw up.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's really easy.
Yeah.
Through four drinks. But no, it was a really fun time. It just wasn't crazy.
Yeah. You couldn't enjoy it as much because you were sick.
Yeah.
Yeah. That sucks, man.
But it's fun to tell everybody I got crabs.
Yeah? Is that what you told people? You got the crabs?
Did you see my Facebook status?
No.
I said, sorry for the replays. I've been really sick, and I'm not talking about the crabs I caught in Vegas.
Oh, I see. Yeah. Okay, I think I saw that.
Yeah.
Crabs.
Mean case of crabs. No, I did not catch crabs.
Yeah.
Never do.
You always make jokes, and then you have to explain that they're jokes.
Whatever, Sam.
The same with the roofies, the same with the selling the car to go to
Everybody
Vegas.
Knew. Everybody knew.
People believe you.
Everybody knew what roofies... I mean, everybody knows I'm joking.
I hope so. Well, you had to say I'm joking.
Well, because there are some people out there that might think I caught some crabs.
There you go. That's what I mean. So anyway. No crabs for Kira. No, that would be a long shot.
Mm, yeah. Anyway.
Well, good. Well, welcome back.
Mm. Thank you, Sam.
Yeah. So what's with the olive oil? I mean, why do you have
it's
to put it on your hair?
It's a scalp treatment. It's really good. If you ever want to condition your hair and condition your scalp, you could just put olive oil on your scalp.
Really?
And
it
hair.
Works?
And moisturize it. Then you wash it out and everything. I just haven't got to that part.
Yeah. Don't they have hair products that can do the same thing?
Yeah, well, this is like, it's natural. Mm. I have it at home. It's readily available.
Right.
And it's really good. It's like really, it's like an essential oil.
Right.
As opposed to doing stuff with chemicals and stuff.
I see. Okay.
Yeah, I've been looking up different hair products and stuff that are like more natural for you.
Yeah. Well, okay. You know.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah, well, I didn't have an exciting weekend.
No?
No, there was nothing exciting. Actually, it was pretty good because we went with my kids to breakfast and stuff, and that was cool, you know. So we did that. But nothing outstanding.
How are your kids doing?
We saw the movie Love Actually again. Did you ever see
that?
Yeah,
like 10 years ago,
It's pretty good, though. Because the funny thing is when Christmas was coming around the corner, I told my wife, I said, let's rent it. It's a great Christmas movie. But there was like a long wait on Netflix for it.
Really?
So we finally got it now in January. You know?
That's funny.
Yeah, because everybody wanted to get it for Christmas, I guess. So, but that's a pretty cool movie, you know? Do you remember the part where this couple is like simulating like sex?
Of
in the
course I remember that. I know,
and
I'm sure
like
you.
It's like such a funny thing, you know? Yeah, that's the part I always remember.
Of course
from the
you
movie.
Do. I knew you were going to say that before. I knew you were going to say that before.
She had like perfect tits, you know? Yeah. And then they're just lying there. They're talking about the weather and shit, you know? While they're simulating sex. That's pretty good. If anybody hasn't seen it, it's a pretty good movie. And Keira Knightley, oh my God, man. She is like so friggin' beautiful.
Really?
Yeah. She is something.
Really? I'm not a fan.
No?
She looks cold.
I'm a big fan.
She looks cold and hungry to me.
No.
She's so
she's
thin.
She's beautiful.
She's a beautiful face, yeah.
Beautiful body, too. Have you seen her body?
Sweetheart, she doesn't have a body. She's tiny.
She does have a body.
I mean, if I was a man, I wouldn't be into her.
No?
She looks bony. Mm. She's beautiful, though, and she does good. She's a good actress. I mean, not taking that away from her.
Yeah. Well, she's a looker in my book.
There you go.
Yeah. She's got this smile, you know, that just melts your heart.
Really?
Yeah. I'm trying to think what other actresses I'm really, like, crazy about. I can't think of anyone. You know? I used to like Sharon Stone a lot until she hit the wall.
She hit the wall?
Yeah.
How'd she hit the wall? You mean getting aging?
Like, yeah.
Well, who are women that are in that age bracket, like in their 40s, that you think are still beautiful?
Let's see. I don't know. I can't think.
Like Diane Lane.
Diane Lane is cute.
She's very pretty.
Yeah.
Julianne Moore.
No, I don't think she's pretty.
Really? Nicole Kidman.
No. You see, I'm not into that type. Nicole and Julianne Moore are about the same style, you know? The same kind of...
What is that style?
I don't know, like not really pretty, you know, only with a lot of makeup.
Not really pretty, only with a lot of makeup. They're in that style called not very pretty.
Yeah.
That's funny, Sam.
Yeah. So, yeah. So, I guess back east, man, they've got some huge storms there. Did you see that in the news?
No.
I mean, they've got like feet and feet of snow there, and they are like... I mean, 30 states were affected by this.
Mm.
Even in Dallas, it was snowing.
Mm.
Believe it or not.
So tell me, let's get on to the whole Egypt situation.
To the Egypt situation.
And I gotta be honest, okay. So I haven't been watching the news. All I know is that a lot of shit's going down over there. I know you put up a couple posts. My dad knows a lot about what's going on there. He gave me a call.
Oh, really? And you guys talked about it a little bit?
We talked, but I did the whole, like, I was getting ready to do something else, so I had him on speaker. Mm-hmm. And I was just doing stuff and something. But, you know, he's been paying attention.
So he started talking politics with you?
Yeah, you know, it's whatever you can to have a conversation. So.
Yeah.
That's cool. But, no, well, I appreciated the phone call. It was really sweet, but I didn't really pay attention to that part.
Yeah. How's your dad doing?
My dad's good. You know, he had a, he had this, what is it called? He had a hernia, which is like.
Oh, yeah, we were talking about
it's
that.
Where your stomach.
With Charlie Sheen.
It's like your stomach pops out of its
right.
stomach area. And it's got to be pushed back in place.
Wow.
So he had to have, like, a surgery that, like, had this mesh wiring type stuff that they had to, like, use as a guard. And his skin had to be grafted to it.
Oh, God.
It was very painful.
God, don't you just hate getting old, man?
Hmm.
You know, you started getting all these ailments and shit. And
you're like, my stomach decided to, like, fall out of my belly button. That's great. Let me just staple gun that for you. Yeah, so he's dealt with that, but he had to close down his shop for a little bit because he was sick. He couldn't, you know, he couldn't recover.
Right.
But he's opening up his shop again, which is barbecue. Mm. My dad has a barbecue business.
Right.
And he takes a lot of pride in it. He has, like, four different big, huge barbecue smokers and, you know, really into it. So my brother asked my dad to cater for his wedding.
Uh-huh.
My dad's going to cater all barbecue.
Wow.
Yeah.
That'll be cool, huh?
Yeah.
When's the wedding?
They haven't selected a date, although I just found out on Facebook that they're looking at November 2012.
Uh-huh.
Which is, like, my birthday is in November, so.
Why do people plan so far in advance?
I don't really know.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's not my wedding. I'm just going to show up. Showing up.
Where's it going to be, in Texas?
Yeah.
Oh.
In Texas.
Yeah.
So.
Okay, well, that's cool. So what's going on in Egypt? Do you want me to go over that?
Let's talk about what's going on. So the dude's out of power, right?
No, he's not out of power. He's still there. Mubarak is still in power.
So what's the deal with this dude and why is he out of power?
Well, he's an autocrat, you know, which means that they have a government, supposedly, but it's a more or less a dictatorship, you know, and people are finally tired of not having the rights. A lot of people there are very poor. There's a lot of poverty there. You're talking about a country of 85 million people, most of whom are Muslim.
And isn't it a very rich country, despite,
no.
like, I thought resources and stuff with...
No, you would think so, but no, they're very poor.
No, not the people. I'm talking about the
country. Yeah, the country itself. No, I mean, I don't... No, I don't think they're doing very well. They need a lot of foreign aid and shit. So, you know, so, I mean, this guy, Mubarak, has been in power for 30 years. But showing you once again that, remember we were talking about Iraq too, that when you have a dictator, often there's a lot of stability for a long time.
Yeah.
Until people, you know, finally realize what's going on.
Yeah.
But... Again, with Saddam, there wasn't... Yeah, he was killing his own people and shit, but on the streets, things were orderly. There was no chaos or anything. And now what is happening in Egypt is lawlessness. That's what's happening there. I guess apparently yesterday, finally people were starting to get hurt. So one person was killed and 400 were wounded. Well, I guess today, on Wednesday in Cairo. And the situation is very sort of complicated because, see, the army is on the government side, but...
They're not acting out right, though.
No, they don't want to hurt the citizens either.
Yeah, which I think is great.
Yeah, but the police do, so there's a lot of clashes with police and shit. You know, the police are not very popular there, but the military is.
Don't the police know they're losing?
Well, they don't have a choice. They get their orders. What are you going to do?
Well, so the government got their orders, but the army's getting their orders, but they're not doing it, right?
I don't know what kind of orders the army's getting. But they're not... I mean, they're trying to keep order, but they're not shooting people.
Mm.
Yeah. So, the thing is this, is that the funny thing is Mubarak says... You know, first he says, you know, we'll try reforms and improve life... improve our lives and things like that, but nobody's buying that now. You know, people wanting out. And so finally he says, okay, you know what? I'll step down in September when the elections happen. But I don't think so. I don't think he's going to last that long because it's not up to him, you see. So he can't decide I'm going to step down in September. there's going to be so much pressure on him that he's going to step down. And if he doesn't, someone's probably going to assassinate him or something.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I mean, that's the way these things work. So,
hasn't the U.S. supported him?
Yeah.
We've been
allies for a long time.
Yeah.
And, you know, they played a big role. They used to be Israel's biggest enemy. So when they signed the peace in 1979, it seems like the whole Arab world sort of calmed down about Israel and that. And, but now, you know, I mean, like in Jordan, the king dismissed his government because I guess he's worried that the same thing's going to happen there. So, you know, I mean, this stuff can just happen anywhere. And
what do you mean what happened in Jordan, you're saying?
What I'm saying is that he's trying to make, like, because he's a king, you know? I mean, it's the same thing. There's no democracy there. So he's trying to sort of, like, preempt any problems and shit. But I don't know what's going to happen there. But the thing is, you have to agree that this has become a very dangerous neighborhood. Not that it never was, mm-hmm. but it's become a very dangerous neighborhood mm-hmm. for Israel mainly, as far as that goes. Because, I mean, you start having chaos like this all over the place.
So what was the catalyst that really got, Egypt to...
I think after they saw what happened in Tunisia, if you remember last week or 2 weeks ago, we were talking about that too. And it was a similar situation. You know, they've got a dictator there, and, you know, he's full of money and shit, and everybody else is poor. And so that's usually how revolutions happen.
It's like a contagious effect.
Yeah. You know, you have the French Revolution, then you have the American Revolution, and these things sort of like have a way of igniting.
So here's a quick overview. I just found that this is on Huffington Post. I'll give me a second to read it. And most of you guys know more than I do. So, you know, more for
well, we're trying to learn about it all together, you know. But the situation is that what's scary in Egypt is there's a popular group called Muslim Brotherhood.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. You've heard of that?
Let me go through this real quick. It says, after days of protests, Egypt's civil unrest came to a head today with protesters defying curfews as the nation's military entered the streets. If you're new to this story, here's what's going on. Protests started on Tuesday, January 25th, when inspired by the successful revolution of Tunisia, thousands of people began taking to the streets to protest poverty, rampant unemployment, government corruption, and autocratic governance of President Hosni
Mubarak.
Thank you. Who ruled the country for 30 years. These were the first protests on such a large scale to be seen in Egypt since the 1970s. The government responded by blocking Twitter, which was being
used by organizers
to coordinate protests.
Right.
Blocking Twitter not only enraged Egyptian citizens, it also brought increased national attention to the uprising. Over the course of the next 2 days, Egypt proceeded to block Facebook, while the much hated riot police took to the streets, arresting and injuring hundreds with batons, tear gas, water cannons. Right. Protests occurred not only in Cairo, the capital, but also in Alexandria and Suez, two other major cities. On Thursday, as the protests continued to rage throughout the country, Nobel laureate and former head to the International Atomic Energy Agency, Mohammed
El Baradei,
returned to Egypt from Vienna, declaring that he was ready to lead the protest. Often thought of as a potential Egyptian leader should Mubarak lose power, El Baradei is a strong opposition force.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but people don't think he's got enough support. So I don't know if it's going to be him or not. But regardless.
And then it says, additionally, the Muslim Brotherhood, which is what you're talking about, long a fierce opponent of the Mubarak regime and officially banned in Egypt, threw their weight behind the protesters, many of whom are young, tech-savvy Egyptians. Reports the New York Times, two-thirds of Egyptians' populations has never known a leader other than Mubarak.
Yeah.
The largest protests were planned for Friday, at which point the government took the unprecedented step of blocking all internet services in the country. With Twitter and Facebook already down, email and other social network outlets fell as well. Text messaging was also blocked. Protesters and journalists began finding alternate means of getting online and pushing out information.
Right.
During the day, the military was called in to take over security, a move that was welcomed by the protesters. Most Egyptians are reported to hold the armed services in higher regard than,
right,
the police.
Than the police. Right.
The U.S. announced that due to the opposing protests that the Obama administration would be reviewing the substantial aid, both military and non-military, provided to Egypt. Egypt is second largest recipient of U.S. aid, most military right behind Israel.
Right. So most of it we already said. The thing is also is the airports. Can you imagine going to the airport and everybody's trying to leave? So they so people were fighting for seats on airplanes, and it was just a mess. And the roads to the airport and everything, and people just had to go back home because they couldn't get on planes. So it's a pretty big mess there. You know, I mean, when you see the United States urging everybody to leave and actually sending planes there to make sure all Americans leave, you know, it's pretty dangerous. So we'll see what happens, you know. But there's a headline here on CNN that says, "Why Egypt 2011 is not Iran in 1979. So that would be... Okay, they're talking about the fact that they're Sunnis and not Shiites. You know that the Muslims, they have several factions. And the Shiites are the more extreme ones, like in Iran and the Taliban and Al-Qaeda and that sort of thing.
Yeah.
But the Sunnis are, you know, they're a lot more moderate, let's say. So they're saying that... You know, they're saying that the situation is different here because you don't have people that are as extreme. Also, they're saying that El-Baradei is not Khomeini. So this guy's a lot more moderate than were those religious leaders in Iran in 1970.
So let's talk about the Brotherhood of the Muslim. What is it called?
The Muslim Brotherhood.
Okay. And so what's going on with that? Now, they're supporting the protesters, but we're... But there's what speculation that they've got different motives or
what
the Brotherhood of the Muslims.
Oh, well, yeah. I mean, but they're sort of sitting quietly waiting to see what's going to happen, you know.
Oh, okay.
But there's definitely a lot of people belonging to there. And, you know, obviously the biggest majority of Egyptians are Muslims.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, well, that's, yeah. So what has been the aftermath of this Tunisia?
Well, the king had to abdicate, or the dictator, whatever, the ruler, and he left. I think he went to France or something. And now they're not really talking much about Tunisia because Egypt is in the headlines. Mm-hmm. But I would imagine there's going to be some changes there.
So who's in power? Do they have a different...
I don't know. They're like... That's what I'm saying. I mean, I'm trying to find some information in Tunisia. They're not talking as much about it anymore. So I don't know where they stand, but obviously, you know, when that happened, I already posted things on Facebook saying, watch how this thing is going to, you know, pass to other countries and shit, because this stuff is contagious, man. When people start being unhappy and they see there's a way to fight against it, they'll come out to the streets and protest. You know?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, so that's that. Now, you heard that... okay, so much for the politics here. Did you hear that Charlie Sheen is back in rehab? We were talking about that, right?
Do we care? I just
do we care?
Yeah.
Well, the question is this, is that they had to put a show on hold, and now all these people are not getting paid for work because they're not working, you know? So now they're asking, you know, will Sheen pay out of work crew? Do you think he's going to pay him out of his own pocket?
No.
I don't think so either. You know, but he's...
I mean, that's really interesting, though.
People.
It's really interesting when you make, you know, not coming down on the guy, but when you do make decisions like this, and you're like, you're carrying a show, or you're partly carrying the show, you're, you have to be there. You really are so responsible for everyone else's job.
Right.
I mean, in many ways...
See, but the thing is, I think they knew who they were hiring when they put him on the show.
Yeah.
You know, but he's essentially the whole show.
But he's going to rehab?
Yeah.
I mean, the whole concept of rehab is to get better and get well.
Right.
I mean, that's a good concept.
Well, let's see if he manages to do that.
It's not like he's on a bender and he's not showing up for work. At least he's in rehab.
Right. Doing something. But he can't help himself, man. This guy's got a lot of demons inside, let me tell you. He can't settle down, you know. And he, you know, I mean, he's not young anymore. You know, he's a father, he's got kids. You would think he'd be a little more responsible as he gets older. But I don't see that happening, you know. Mm. That's why I'm telling you, man, addiction is very cruel, you know. It doesn't matter what social class, doesn't matter how old you are, what race, gender, man, it gets everybody.
Yeah.
Yeah, so did you ever watch the show, 2.5 Men?
Yeah, I've seen some of it.
It's pretty good, huh? It's funny as hell.
It's not really my show. I mean, no. I would definitely be on it if they asked me to be on it.
But, yeah, that's true. It's more for guys.
I don't know. I think it's cute. It's a cute show.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's a cute show. Not my favorite, but it does its job. It's very, very, very popular, though, right?
Mm, yeah.
Yeah.
It is. It's in the top 10. It has been for a long time.
Yeah, top 10.
Yeah. So, yeah. Mm. So what's going to happen with the car for you, Kira?
I'm just saving up for a new one.
Yeah?
Mm-hmm. Okay. Just saving up for a new one, just like normal people do.
Yeah. It's hard to live in this town.
My inheritance hasn't kicked in yet.
No?
No. My millions will be in soon.
What about the sugar daddy we've been looking for you for?
It's so funny. I was just having a conversation with somebody about that. Just the whole concept of marrying as a business for money. If you think about it.
Yeah. Well, you don't have to marry them, you know. A sugar daddy is not necessarily someone you marry.
Well, first of all, I wouldn't do either one of these. But it's not even something I'm going to ever do. But I'm saying, I was just thinking about, you know, men can sometimes get mad at women who marry for money or they date for class and a lifestyle. And it's kind of like it's all a chess move, you know. But there's a lot of businessmen men out there that are like shrewd, very just shark businessmen. And if they were women and they didn't, not that women can't be businesswomen, but I'm saying if they were in a different situation and they happen to be women, it's like some of these women are making major money as marrying.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
Even prenups, you get paid to get paid.
Yeah.
Isn't that crazy?
You get paid to get paid?
No, I'm just saying in a lot of prenups too, it's like you hit a certain marker, you get a certain money, and you know if you want to. You want to divorce at year 5, this is what you're going to make. If you want to divorce at year 10, this is what you're going to make.
Exactly.
Isn't that crazy?
It is. It is.
Yeah.
But that's what happens when you have a lot of money. You have to worry about people wanting to take it from you.
Mm-hmm. Well, I just don't think you should... I don't believe in it on any level, but I also think you shouldn't compromise that. You shouldn't compromise love and marriage for those things. You just shouldn't.
Yeah.
Like, I met a guy the other day. He's like, yeah, I was dating a woman. She's a writer. She had it all. She had money. She was the winner in the relationship. And he goes, I really just didn't like her that much.
Mm.
He's like, I didn't love her. So we broke up because I'd rather just hang out with somebody and love them and do nothing with them and have a great time versus being around a lot of fancy stuff.
What the hell with that? Give me the money.
Whatever.
Hand over the cash, man. I don't care.
Yeah, you do.
It makes your life a lot easier. You got to admit. You know,
there's a place for it. I'm not saying, I mean, there's a place where you need provision and you need to take care of stuff and have some nest eggs set up. I get it. Absolutely.
Yeah. No, but you're right. I mean, that's human nature. You know, you're not going to last just based on money in a relationship.
You got to be able to, like, have the good times and the bad times. Mm-hmm. And I think that there's women sometimes where for some of those guys, if they lose that job or something happens, I mean, the woman's out.
Yeah.
I've seen it happen, too.
Yeah. Yeah, well, that depends, you know. That's why you got to be careful who you hook up with.
It's like Chris Rock says. He's like, women cannot go back in lifestyle. Once they've seen some of that, they got to keep going up.
Yeah.
They will not go back. And, I mean, I think that you should marry the person, not the lifestyle, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Be with them.
Well, that's the ideal, but, you know. Some people are really trying to get somewhere, and they figure they're going to use other people's money to do it.
But a lot of people, like, see, the thing is I've seen this. I know people personally who were married, and they did fabulous things, and they didn't like each other.
Mm-hmm.
They'd have nice dinners and fancy wine and fancy trips, and then all I would hear about is how bored they were.
Yeah, yeah.
And I'm like, well, I'm not bored.
That's true. That does happen. That does happen.
So it's like, really, it's not really worth it.
Yeah, I know.
I'm not saying I want to be a bum my whole life. But
yeah, just part of it.
I'm not saying I want to be a total loser my whole life. I would just like to be with the right person.
Okay. Well, we'll find one for you.
Okay, Sam. Thank you.
All right, everybody. Thank you all for joining us. Kira, go home. Get some rest.
Okay. Thank you guys for listening. You're missed.
You're missed, and I don't like it when people say you're missed, you know, because then it doesn't say who is doing the missing. So we'll say,
oh, really?
We miss you, or we missed you. Okay?
Okay.
All right. That's why I don't like when people say you're loved, you're missed, you're this. It's like, by whom? You know, so
really,
give me the right...
Really, that stresses you out?
Yeah. The sentence has to be correct. You say, I miss you, I love you, but... You know, it's sort of indirect when you say that.
Yeah, I also think there's a cool part of it. Somebody says you're loved. It's an interesting, it's like an action. It's just saying there's love that's coming at you, kind of like you're loved.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's interesting.
Love coming at you at the speed of light. All right, everybody. Thank you all for joining us.
Bye-bye.
We promise we'll be back here tomorrow.
Been listening to Sam and Kara in the Morning, which airs every weekday from 10 to 11 a.m. Pacific Standard Time and originates from the Los Angeles Talk Radio studios. For questions regarding the show or to learn more about sponsorship opportunities, please direct all correspondents to info@latalkradio.com. Sam and Kara in the Morning is a production of LA Talk Radio. We say what we want.